News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's Monday, and she's back. I'm so happy to be back, y'all, at Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Been out for several days with something, part of that crud that's been going around. And I had some open time this morning. I asked my friend Malcolm Ballinger with Ballinger Publishing. I said, could you please come in early and help me get this week started off right? And here he is. Good morning, Malcolm.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you're here.
Here to welcome you back.
I know. I feel like it was a little touch and go there for a while. There's some serious crud going around, as they say. So very happy to be back and in the studio seeing everybody. So wasn't really a vacation, but it was a break that I needed to get better. So if you're struggling with some kind of bronchitis, this is the thing that's going around right now, is apparently a very serious bronchitis, which is what I had, that actually turned into bronchial pneumonia, which is a little bit scary. And I have had the pneumonia shot, by the way. And so my doctor said, well, okay, we got to really have you rest and get after this. So that's what I did. And I am feeling better, but I'm very happy to be back.
Well, we're happy to have you back.
But make sure and take care of yourself. Aw, I missed you too. So what have I missed? Tell me everything.
Well, things have been pretty quiet.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just this past week.
Did you go to all the Fiesta festivities this weekend? I saw some great photos on Facebook.
No, I didn't. I've sort of not got involved the last few years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's... you know, I'm not the partying animal that I used to be.
Stop it. I don't believe that first. I've seen you out and about. That's just not true at all. So nice try, though.
Okay.
Malcolm, I go way back. Nice try, buddy. Yeah. Well, I saw some fabulous pictures from it, which looked really amazing.
Yes, I think everybody had a great time.
It looks like it was a really exciting event. So that's pretty cool.
Yes. No, I kept a low profile and... Just sort of relaxed also.
Nice. Did you play a little golf yesterday?
Played a little golf yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah. Not too hot yet. I mean, it's getting there. I can feel the difference.
Then I watched the Tony Awards for about 30 minutes.
Oh, I love the Tonys.
Had a trouble staying awake, so I...
Say that. I think it's the best award show. I really do. Because they have all the musical numbers from the Broadway shows. And I just loved it. But that's my first love in life.
Yeah.
Theater.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe I've become cynical in my old age. But
no. Not you.
But highly paid performers being lauded. I don't know. It just doesn't resonate.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. Okay, I have to argue
with you. Am I being crusty here?
Yes. Do you have any idea what it takes for someone to get to the point in an acting career to where they're actually performing on Broadway? That is the cream of the crop. That is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, and it takes years.
And they're also very well paid, too.
Some. I mean, the stars maybe, but a lot of the hoofers and the people that are, you know, doing all the smaller roles and stuff. I mean, especially off Broadway, they don't get paid anything really. Mm. And you have actors' equity, which helps to protect the actors. But I don't see them as an elite much. I mean, I think they're people that have really earned their place.
I get what you say.
Having been someone that did not get to Broadway.
But the big stars tend to use it as a platform to give you their point of view.
Well, that kind of happens everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, which I don't necessarily agree or disagree with what they have to say, but I don't think they should use that platform.
They didn't do it as much last night as has happened in the past, I thought. I see that more at the Oscars, actually, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Just my humble opinion.
Yeah.
I thought Pink did a great job as the MC, which is interesting because she's not a Broadway actress, but she did pretty terrific hosting. She was fun.
She performed in the first, I guess I watched 40 minutes.
Yeah. She was fun. They did a tribute to a chorus line, which was when I was about, I don't know, I might probably give away my age, but a chorus line is celebrating, opened in 1976 on Broadway, if you can believe that, 50 years ago. And when I was younger, and I loved the theater so much, and for my birthday, my parents took me to New York, and one of the shows that I saw was a chorus line the year that it was, you know, right when it had opened with the original cast. And I remember walking out of that theater thinking, that's it, that's what I want to do. I was so starstruck by the whole experience.
I
love that show for that reason.
I must admit, I kind of live a little bit in the past. I think Broadway in the 20s, 30s
was
at their peak. Uh-huh. You know, the, some of the great shows and the great performers.
Oh, see, I don't. Well, I don't. Well, I love it all. So I love the revivals of the older shows. I love it when they do that, and I love some of the classics that you see. Every community theater in the world does Sound of Music, West Side Story.
Yeah.
You know, the same ones, A Music Man. You know, yeah, the same
My
ones
Fair
that
Lady.
Get repeated. Yep, they all get repeated.
Yes.
Oklahoma, all those good ones.
Yes.
Those are kind of classics. But I love the new stuff too, and I love the plays. So I, you know, but that's my thing.
I think the 20s and 30s were more exciting times.
Can you think of a show that was one of your favorites?
Oh, Showboat.
Oh, that's a beautiful. I love that show. Old Man River.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great.
The original stars, Paul Robeson.
Oh, yeah.
Helen Morgan.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Paul Robeson was amazing.
I still have a lot of recordings by Helen Morgan.
Really?
That's I think incredible star power back in those days, which is a little bit lacking today.
Well, I mean,
I know you'll disagree, but
yes,
but
there
you
are
know,
some uber talented people on Broadway these days.
But can you imagine the excitement of Showboat, which was really a game changer in its time?
Absolutely.
And it played in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
out of town
mm-hmm.
opening
mm-hmm.
and lasted over 4 hours.
Wow!
And then when it came back to Broadway, they cut the show down to it. Now I guess it's about 2.5, something like that.
Typically, yeah.
But I think the music is unsurpassed in terms of musical.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue with you. It's a beautiful show. I love that show.
Mm.
Wow, this is an interesting conversation.
Yes, it is.
To kick the week off.
Is our listenership still awake?
Well, when I was watching Chorus Line, I still cry every time I see. You remember the song What I Did for Love?
Yes.
That is such an anthem for actors and people in the business because it's such a tough business, and you have to hang in there and do it for years and years. You have to really, really love it. And some people think that's a song about romance, which it can be, but I also think it's an anthem for people that love the arts, and keeping the arts alive today is so important. No
yes.
matter what it is, painting, dancing, theater, just keeping that creative side. Because I'm afraid of AI. I'm afraid that's going to take our creativity away. And so I really encourage that authentic creativity.
Mm. There's an exhibition at the Pensacola Museum of Art, which I went to the opening night, the opening reception. It's a collection of drawings by cartoon artists.
Oh.
It was collected by Gerald Adcox and his
oh,
wife,
great.
Over a 40-year period. And there's the Flintstones and all kinds of things. It's really fascinating because that was a fascinating time in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, and also when you think about periodicals and newspapers that aren't around anymore, I mean, cartoons, everybody looked for the cartoon page to see what the next Gary Larson might be, or Peanuts, and all the different classic ones.
Well, these are more focused on movie characters.
Oh, okay.
Or TV.
Flintstones.
The Flintstones.
Jetsons.
Yeah.
If you're going to that era, I'm thinking.
back in the day,
day. Okay, on that note, we're going to come back with more stimulating conversation right here on Pep Talk. We got to take a quick break. Malcolm Ballinger is here keeping me company. I hope you're having a good start to your day. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Malcolm Ballinger is here keeping me company on this Monday morning. Hope you're getting a good start to your day. And if you have any comments or thoughts, please feel free to text those in at 850-437-1620. Got a quick question for you, and then we'll go to talking about some of your publications.
I suppose that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I was going to ask you, being from Britain, because that to me, I mean, with the Old Globe and Shakespeare, and that's the home of theater to me, besides Greece, but how do you compare when you see shows in England, in London, to Broadway? Is it similar, the same? It's on my bucket list to see a show in London.
There's something kind of romantic, if that's the right word, exciting about seeing a show in London.
The theater is smaller and more intimate?
Well, not really, but yes, to a certain extent. But in England, the Palladium. Is Sunday night at the London Palladium was on TV for many, many years. And so I went back and we saw La Cage Fall.
Oh, great show. I saw that live too.
And there's, yes, there's something, I'm trying to think of the right word, but it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's
magical.
Awesome.
Magical was a good word.
Is a good word, yeah. But I think the same would be true. I've never seen a Broadway show at Broadway. And I'd like to do that.
I think it's interesting to decide what you want to see, because I had that opportunity to see a big musical and that was great. And there's some big houses on, you know, on Broadway. Mm-hmm. But I still, that same week that I went, I'll never forget, I saw A Moon for the Misbegotten, which was with Jason Robards and Colleen Dewhurst. And it was a very intimate theater. I mean, it wasn't very big. And at first, I was a little disappointed because in my kid's mind, I thought, oh, Broadway is going to be the big stage. And in this play, I just remember, I was just, my jaw was dropped. I was in such awe of the acting and getting lost in the story and the intimacy of really feeling like you were there with them, and how the audience, the energy of the audience and the actors came together in this small space. It was, that really, that was something.
Well, I certainly don't have to tell you the excitement of live performance.
Yeah.
I remember I saw a performance of 42nd Street in
yes.
L.A.
Yes, I saw it with Jerry Orbach. Yeah.
This was Millicent Martin.
Oh, gosh.
It's been a few years ago.
I was going to say, that had to be a while ago.
but it's, you just don't see a bad show because of the excitement. The fact that it's live and you're there in the theater and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. It's very hard, at least for me, to get bored and leave. I'm just always excited.
Me too. There's just something about the live theater. It's really wonderful.
And of course, in Pensacola, we have the Sanger Theater, which is a beautiful, beautiful venue for... And the acoustics are so good.
Mm-hmm. And we have the Pensacola Little Theater, and they do a good job with their all the different musicals that they bring in. And then they have the Studio 400, which I love still the small, more intimate theater. So I love when they do these more, I don't know how to put it, more avant-garde productions in the smaller space, which is fun. So, and usually a little bit newer, maybe think plays that you hadn't heard of before or might not have the opportunity to see. So we have some good theater. We had more theater companies when I first moved here that have since gone away. So hopefully we've got a new one called Gulf Breeze Stage that's just coming into fruition this summer. So hopefully they'll be putting some productions on soon. But, yeah, there's nothing like live. If you've never been to the theater live, go at least once just to try it.
Yes, I could not agree more.
Just to try it.
And, of course, my first love is opera. So
I was just going
to
say.
To go to see Pensacola Opera. We really have a tremendous...
What's happening now this summer for the opera?
Every year we bring in artists in residence that are young and up-and-coming singers. Cody and staff go to New York and audition.
Oh, wow.
So these are very fine up-and-coming singers. And they perform at schools and events, brown bag lunches, and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're here
as a residency for the year or several months?
They're here till September, I believe.
Okay.
And very fine singers. And singers that perform in our main stage productions.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them come back later.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I can think of several that were artists in residence and came back and took a leading role in production, had developed into very... fine voices, meaningful.
One of the things I had the opportunity to be an artist in residence in Chautauqua, New York, for a couple of summers. And one of the things that was great about that experience was being there, the community would embrace the artists so much. And I know that we do that here as well, where they really have an opportunity to get to know Pensacola and the people here. And they, I know they do a beautiful job of including them in events and helping them participate. And it really is a wonderful experience for the artists.
It's a plum assignment for these young artists because we have the beach, which we tend to take for granted, but they love and the nightlife and the atmosphere in Pensacola. They really have a fun time.
Well, speaking of nightlife, we just happen to have a new publication that has come out from Ballinger Publishing, Pensacola's Downtown Crowd. Yeah. This is my little, I guess you could say my entertainment Bible that I keep with me all the time, because you have a great list of all the events for the whole month.
Can I draw your attention to page 12?
Yes, you can.
Which poses the question, what's your food mood?
Uh-oh. Okay, and that's the cover of the this issue, too. It's a June issue is out on newsstands today, so you can definitely look into what's your food mood? What is your food mood, sir?
My food mood is fairly staid. I'm not an adventurer. I'm not really an adventurer.
Because you're from Britain, perhaps.
Yes. I'd love my fish and chips.
I hate to be a downer, but y'all don't have the best reputation for food cuisine.
You know, it's a little bit...
Here we go.
Well, I don't want to get on my soapbox and don't want to defend it too much, but I must say...
yes?
It is a little blander than American food, but I could make the case that sometimes we over-season food in the United States.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
If in England, they tend to cook the food, prepare the food so that you taste the food, mm-hmm. not so much the seasoning that goes along with it.
Ah, okay.
That's my defense.
And I'm going to leave it right there, because we're going to go to a commercial break while we all think about that for a minute. Over-seasoning our food.
This is if anybody disagrees, I'll be happy to.
Oh, you just opened up 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Malcolm Ballinger is here. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Good Monday morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Malcolm Ballinger is here, keeping me company on a Monday morning. And if you just joined us, we've been having interesting conversations about the theater and food. And Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping said he probably, referencing Malcolm, Malcolm probably likes bangers and mash.
I love bangers and mash. Thank you, Paul. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know where you can get English bangers and mash.
Not here. I don't think you can get it here. What is it exactly?
It is sausage and potato.
Yeah, but you described the sausage to me a minute ago in a way that made me gag.
It's pork sausage, but they tend to, you know, what's left over.
A
little bit.
Okay, yeah, no.
Well, that's more like blood pudding.
Oh, gosh, just the name. What is that? I've heard that before.
That is essentially blood from a bull and part of the intestines poured into a skin.
Oh, my God. Why would you want to eat that?
It is delicious.
Ugh.
And it was cheap, too.
But how do you get past the visual?
you just don't think too much about it. When it's cooked, it looks like an oversized sausage.
Mm-hmm.
A little different color.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're from a family of 10, you ate what you were given and were thankful.
True, this is true. Okay.
I don't know if I could manage it right now, but certainly bangers and mash.
Okay.
There's a great old music hall song, "Give Me a Bash at the Bangers and Mash Me Mother Used to Make." yes, I wish I could.
I was going to say, we'll have to have like a food episode one of these days, just talk about British foods. What kind of desserts do they have?
Oh, did you ever eat or have the honor of eating my wife's trifle?
No, I did not.
Glenys made the greatest trifle.
I love Glenys. I remember her well.
Love the trifle. Do we have time for a very short story?
I don't know. I think we did about 30 seconds.
I always remember when we first came to this country, we were invited to a party, bring food.
Right.
So my wife made this beautiful trifle in a big bowl, cream on top, custard, little sherry on the, and put it on the table.
Oh, no.
It's dessert.
Right.
Well, people were getting, you know, potatoes and vegetables and stuff, and then putting the trifle on there with it. She was mortified. So, no, it's a dessert.
No, it's dessert. Oh, that's great. I love it. We're talking with Malcolm Ballinger this morning from Ballinger Publishing. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll be back. We're going to have a conversation about the new Palafox Street. Daniel sent in a text with a question for us that I think is worth talking about. So we're going to address that when we come back.
I agree. I think.
All right.
Absolutely.
This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a few.
Ba-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. I'm glad to be back. Was under the weather last week, but I'm so happy to have my friend first thing in the morning here with me, Malcolm Ballinger with Ballinger Publishing. Good morning, Malcolm.
Good morning.
I'm so great to start back with you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you here in the studio. It's wonderful to be back, seeing everybody and hearing about all that I missed while I was out. And one of the things that I missed, Malcolm, that I haven't had a chance, to be honest, to get down there and see it, was the opening, the reopening of Palafox.
Yes, we got actually a question from Paul.
Yes, Paul texted in a question. He was asking, no, from Daniel. I'm sorry, Daniel. Daniel sent in a question. He said, I really enjoyed strolling and walking Palafox Street when cars were prohibited. Any chance of making that a permanent weekend action?
Paul was the Bangers of Mash guy.
Yes, that was
maybe he can stroll up Palafox Street with Bangers
of
Mash.
He's a landscaping guy. So he's from Daniel, yeah. That's a great question.
It's a very topical question because I've had many conversations the last week or so where people have said to me, you know, we should think about closing Palafox after traffic. And I think it's something that needs to be discussed. Absolutely.
It's really a neat thing. I had the opportunity to travel to Europe, and in Germany, a lot of the towns have the downtown is closed off. It's just strolling,
yes,
and walking, and it's really lovely. I mean, and you can park behind. You're not just not parking on the main street.
I walked up and down several times before they opened it to traffic, and then I've driven up there a couple of times,
mm-hmm,
just to see what it's like to drive. And one good thing is they have little humps and things to slow you down a little bit.
Right.
But I think it's a very valid question. It is a little bit more complicated, really, than closing the street or not. Obviously, the businesses that make up Palafox Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the restaurants would not mind the street being closed. But I think the regular retail businesses might, I know they have strong opinions about that.
Right.
So it's something that I think we need to talk about and
mm-hmm
see if we can find the right answer.
Well, one of the things he asked about was possibly on the weekends. And it's interesting, in Germany, everything closes on Sunday, which,
yeah,
is kind of interesting. All the restaurants, everything closes on Sundays.
You know, that's a great point. We used to have, and I'm not sure if they're still there, but they had bollards, metal poles that they could insert,
mm-hmm,
at Palafox,
yeah,
Street,
that's,
and
right,
Romano and Intendencia.
I remember those, yeah.
I don't know if those disappeared or not, but they had the ability for, obviously, gallery night.
Right,
to
temporarily
do that.
Closing.
I'd like to see it closed if we can be sure that the retail businesses do not suffer. I think the last thing that we want to do is to drive away the retail aspect of,
right,
Palafox Street. We don't want it to become a Bourbon Street, if you like.
That's true.
So it's a complex thing, needs a lot of discussion.
Cons.
Pros and cons.
Definitely,
yeah,
pros and cons.
But I think everybody is of the same mind that it looks, it's a huge improvement, it looks beautiful.
It really does.
It's been a great addition to downtown. There's no doubt about that.
All right. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Malcolm Ballinger is here. So if you have some thoughts about this, please feel free to text him in at 850-437-1620. And when we talk about restaurants and downtown, this month's issue of Pensacola's Downtown Crowd, the June issue, just came out. On the cover, it says, "What's your food mood?" One of my favorite topics, by the way. And then if you open up to page 12, it says, "What's your food mood? Local bites for every foodie's palate." Do you have a favorite type of food, Malcolm?
I do like Chinese.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
And I love
Japanese. I'm a Bangers and Mash kind of guy.
Yeah, really.
That's kind of like, the go-to on the other end of the dial there.
And I love Japanese food, particularly sushi.
Ah.
So, but of course, I love fish and chips, English food. But, yes, Chinese, Japanese.
I just got a text in that's going to defend you, Malcolm. Are you ready?
Oh.
This is a text from one of our listeners. I'm sorry I don't have a name. It says, English food gets a bad rap. Outstandingly excellent food is available throughout the UK, if you know where to look. Try Stilton Chicken at the Boot in Beaconsfield and Back to the London Theatre. There are so many named shows as well as upstart plays available at any time. A visitor to the UK has to work hard to not enjoy their time in London and England in general. And it's Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you,
I hear
Tom.
A little British accent
Hooray
in there somewhere. I love it. I love it. So you're not alone, Malcolm.
When I went to London to the Palladium to watch La Cage aux Folles, we ate at a restaurant, and the name I cannot remember. It's been a long time. But the food was incredibly good. Incredible.
In London?
In London, yes.
Huh. Okay. Well, you have to find that out and let us know.
But, of course, when you do go to London, as I'm sure you will one day, mm-hmm. one thing you must do is have some pub food.
Okay, what defines pub food?
Well, pub food is like shepherd's pie or steak.
No, I love shepherd's pie. They have that at Maguire's.
Bangers and mash. Or these days, burger and fries, or as they say in England, beef burger and chips.
Chips,
yes.
I like the chips.
Yes.
But you serve your chips, you don't serve with ketchup, right? Do you serve it with something else?
No.
Vinegar?
Salt and vinegar.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yes. Not so much ketchup. Ketchup is more an American thing. Mm-hmm.
No, that's why I was wondering. I had heard that somewhere. So I love this whole article that you have. And if you don't have a copy in hand, you can also go online to ballingerpublishing.com or downtowncrowd.com. And you can actually look at the digital copy in your phone, which is pretty cool. And you can look up all these different types of food that are available. It's amazing, really, when you think of Pensacola being where we are in this area. We really have some great restaurants here with all different types of cuisine. We're very fortunate for what I would consider to be a small town in that sense.
Well, we're a small city.
City, true. I take that back. Yeah, I stand corrected. A small city.
One place that's featured, a little bit out of the way, as you know, I live just on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that many people want to see, and there's been a lot of talk about it, is to revitalize Navy Boulevard down to the Navy base,
mm-hmm.
and across Barrancas and
yeah, that
up
whole
to Warrington.
Area is that whole, kind of
it's become a little maybe depressed is too strong a word, but there's a restaurant open there called 100 Spoon. It's a buffet.
Huh.
And I just needed to eat, and I saw it, and I sort of went in there. And the food is really, really good. But the point I wanted to make is that it's hopefully the first of many that'll start to revitalize that area on the west side of town.
Oh, it'll happen, because it's definitely already we can see those apartments going up down by the waterfront in Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
right where the old sewage place used to be.
Yes.
I can't think.
Well, I'm thinking more west
further
of
west
there.
Than
further
that.
West.
Okay.
Barrancas and Navy Boulevard, that area.
Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
Let's get to it. In fact, we need to take a quick break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Malcolm Ballinger is here. If you have a comment or a question, please feel free to send it in. I love hearing about British food. That was wonderful. So thanks, Tom, for that text. We'll be back in just a minute after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We're laughing because we've been talking about British food, and somebody just texted in, don't forget mushy peas.
Oh, yes. How could I forget?
You should have seen Malcolm's face light up when I read that to him. Now, what are mushy peas?
Mushy peas are peas that are mushy. In the old fish and chip shops, used to go, and back in the days, a sixpenny fish and mix, I think is what we used to call it, which was like fish chips and mushy peas.
Green peas?
Green peas, yeah.
Mushed.
And you can buy cans of mushy peas.
Really?
Yeah, in this country.
And so is it,
specialty stores.
How is it prepared?
It's just warmed up and mushy. It is the greatest thing with your chips.
I may have served that in my early cooking days by accident, overcooking the peas.
The other great delicacy that our writer, a texter, may be aware of is curry and chips.
Curry and chips?
Curry and chips. Many of
curry
the...
Curry in the spice curry?
Indian spice curry, yeah.
Oh.
In England, many of the fish and chip shops were taken over by Indian and Pakistani immigrants.
Interesting.
Who introduced curry and chips.
Huh. I've never had that. And I've never thought, I'm not a big fan of curry, but that could be good, maybe.
Oh, it is good.
Huh.
It is good. You go to the pub, and then after closing time, you pick up a curry and chips on the way home.
Wow.
And then when you get home, eat the curry and chips. Huh. And then you're ready for bed.
You know, I have just been missing out. I'm a deprived child.
But yes, mushy peas.
I love
it. We used to look forward to those.
That's so funny. You should see his face, y'all. His face has just lit up with the mushy peas. So that's, I guess it's a good thing. Well, speaking of good things, we really wanted to mention, I have a note here to talk about the pet contest.
Oh, yes.
For the cover of Pensacola Magazine coming
you
up.
You have until June 15th, which is, I think, next Tuesday.
Next Monday?
No, I think it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Let me check. I'll check. But go ahead and tell it. It's Monday, the 15th.
Oh, it's Monday?
Yes, Monday the 15th. So this is a pet, to have your pet on the cover of Pensacola Magazine for the July issue.
That is correct. Not you, your pet.
Yes, the pet.
And it can be in any situation that you think is cute or whatever.
And any kind of pet, you said earlier.
In fact, I announced last week, I don't know if you were listening.
No. I was taking my cold medicine, thank you very much. Sorry.
We actually had a snake.
What?
Entry, a snake entry, yes.
Really? What kind of snake?
Just a slithery snake. I don't know.
Well, there's all different kinds. I mean, you've got pythons.
I'm sure a very friendly snake.
Interesting.
But the point being that any pet is permissible. Now, it will be, apart from the cover, the one on the cover, then every entry is featured inside.
I love that.
So your pet will be famous, even if you don't win the contest.
That's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we have this is the second year that we've done it, and we are getting lots and lots of entries. It's going to be very successful.
So what do you have to do to enter?
You have to go to Downtown Crowd. I'm just looking which page it is. Or to Pensacola Magazine or to BallingerPublishing.com, and the instructions are there on how to enter. BallingerPublishing.com/PetContest2026.
Okay, and then you just put an attachment with your photos?
Yes.
Excellent.
And please make sure they're high res. Obviously, okay. If they're going to be on the cover, they need to be high res photos.
So any kind of pet, it could be a dog, a cat?
Dog, cat, llama, donkey, horse, snake, gerbil, yeah, rabbit.
Rabbit, anything.
How
fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is for it to be in the next issue of Pensacola Magazine.
Obviously, try and make it
fun.
Fun, yes. I was going to say cute, but fun is a better word. Fun photo.
Okay. I'm game. We'll have to find something fun to do. All right. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and Malcolm Ballinger is here with us as we're getting ready to celebrate the summer. The summer is finally here. If you have any thoughts or comments, you can always text them in at 850-437-1620. So what's your food mood is the topic of the day for Pensacola's Downtown Crowd, which is out and about in newsstands all over town. It's a free publication, and coming out soon is the June Pensacola Magazine. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Is at the printers now and will be available very soon.
So if you're just visiting Pensacola for this week and taking a lot of the people, our kids are out for school now and they're taking vacations, hopefully we'll have a little bit better weather. It's going to be sunny this week, which will be nice. Very little chance of rain. But you can look in Downtown Crowd and it has all kinds of things to do. They talk about the Wahoos. They talk about the different festivals we have. We've got the coming up, we've got the 5th annual Juneteenth Festival, which is going to be happening on June 13th. We've got gallery night coming up. I think it's going to be on June 19th, and that's from 5 to 9. That is when someone was asking earlier about closing down Palafox, and they do close it down for that.
Yes.
So that'll not be this Friday, but the next Friday. and you've got so many different events going on, and then a whole list with this What's Your Food Mood of restaurants and specialty dishes.
And then you mentioned in the break that it is Father's Day on the 21st.
Yes, it's the 21st. So not this Sunday, but the following Sunday.
On the 20th, the day before, is the 12th annual Fish House Craft Beer Festival.
Oh, fun. So, I could take Dad to that.
Yeah. Dad, I'm sure, loves a glass of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Be perfect.
And Fish House has great food.
Great food and great beer.
Absolutely.
All kinds of local craft beer. And should make for a perfect weekend.
Okay. Some great ideas, and you can find out more by picking up an issue of Downtown Crowd. This is Pep Talk. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Malcolm Ballinger. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, spending our time this morning with Malcolm Ballinger from Ballinger Publishing. Thanks for coming in early, Malcolm, to keep me company today. I really appreciate it.
Yes, my pleasure.
It's been fun talking about British food.
Yes, that sort of makes me want to go back and sample some.
I was going to say, I might have to go and look in that gourmet section of the store and see if I can find some mushy peas.
Yes.
Sounds interesting.
interesting
in quotes, you know.
Yeah. Back to earlier conversation.
Yes, sir.
Actually, British, UK food has got a little spicier, particularly with the introduction of cuisine from India. And multicultural. And so I think it's not true to say that that British food is bland anymore.
That's true.
Maybe it was true a long time ago, but not now.
It's gotten more cosmopolitan, probably.
Yeah, yeah, rather like the US, I guess.
Mm-hmm. In Pensacola.
Yeah, yeah.
We still have shrimp and grits, but we also have some other things.
Yes.
I love shrimp and grits, but I'm a Southern girl.
The grits, I've never
been able I love to grits.
Get a hold of.
I was raised on some grits now.
Yeah.
Cheese grits are the best.
Hmm.
Have you ever had cheese grits?
They're
so good.
We
and
serve them.
Grits souffle and grits casserole.
We serve them Thursday mornings at Loaves and Fishes.
Oh.
My friend Larry Northrop cooks the cheese grits.
You should try it.
Maybe I should taste them.
They're really good, I promise. I wouldn't steer you wrong on this.
Do you think I could get hooked on?
Yeah, if you can do bangers and mash and mushy peas,
and
trust me, cheese grits are going to be a phenomenal experience for you. It's going to blow your mind, Malcolm.
Okay. I'm committed to try a spoonful.
Throw in some scrambled eggs, a little bacon, and you will be set.
And along with my world-famous gravy, should be a great breakfast.
No. Put gravy on the side.
Oh, okay.
Just to try it without the gravy.
Okay.
Malcolm, thanks so much for coming in and keeping
Thank
me
you.
Company
Enjoyed
this
it.
Morning. It's a great way to start Monday. I hope your Monday's starting out right. We'll be back with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, in just a few minutes, right after the news on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent.